The Lord bless and infuse you, dear family, with His will and His wisdom. I pulled a Rhema card from my file boxes that gave me pause for thinking. At first, I had no idea what the Lord was saying to me. The card said, "Honor your mother and father." Well, both of them are in heaven now, so I sought the Lord for His interpretation. When He began speaking to me in this message, He opened my eyes. I asked Him, "Lord, speak your heart to me." He replied, "You have already received what is in my heart, dear one. I want this to be a 24/7 Eucharistic community, a place where I can rest my weary brow upon your hearts." And what He meant by that is adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, adoration of Jesus, who is present, who is truly present in the host, under the appearance of bread. But the true substance is none other than Christ Himself. Continuing, He said, "A place where I can rest my weary brow upon your hearts. Each one of you are beautiful souls who are learning to adore me in spirit and in truth. Truly, I tell you, I can come here when all else fails. There's always someone in your midst that is thinking about me and wanting to keep me company. I want you to make time for them to come and keep me company. I want you to value the time spent before my Eucharistic presence, before all other activities, even work. I intend to button this community up from evil through Eucharistic adoration. I want you to teach this, Claire, because very difficult times are coming, and it will be necessary for each to maintain their strength through me. What a privilege to accompany Almighty God, King of heaven and earth, in the flesh, true blood. There are some who still do not understand the power of my presence among them. For this reason, they are weak and emaciated spiritually. You cannot change men's opinions through discourse. This must happen through experience, and I am standing ready to grant them this experience if they will only come to me with an honest, open, and willing heart and mind, and base their thinking on my words, not their former pastor's opinions. In John 6, I clearly state that this transmuted by the Holy Spirit, wine and bread, have now become, truly, my body and blood, under the appearance of bread and wine. I do not say this once, or twice, or not even three times, but seven times I confirmed that this is my body and my blood, and that unless you partake in it, there is no life in you. And that is why so many abandoned me in that hour. To the Jews, blood is an impure abomination, and the very idea of eating human flesh and drinking human blood is an abomination. After I shared this with the community, one of our members who had come back from a family leave of absence approached me and said, "I have been so dry for the past month. But this morning, a brother asked me if I wanted to receive. I said yes. Afterwards, the Lord touched me, and I felt His sweet presence again, restored." This was coming from a Cajun brother that had a strong fundamentalist background, and I was very edified by what he said, because I was almost expecting a different reaction, since this teaching is so very early church. And of course, the early church is where the Catholic Church began. So people assume that we're Catholic, but we're not. We're early church. Jesus continued, Cultural prejudice runs deep, my people. Many of you cling to the traditions of men. By that I mean the errors of your denomination, and ignore my word. I am calling upon you to shed this pride of opinion, which accompanies each one of you from churches operating in generational error. For you, this is not easy, because your identity, your family, and friends held such firm convictions that they scorned and hated what is written in my scriptures about my mother and my Eucharistic presence. It's commonly called alchemy by some Protestants who do not understand the power of the Holy Spirit in relationship with this gift the Lord has given us. Continuing, he said, they have chosen to ignore those scriptures I used to illuminate them as to the truth of my body and blood under the appearance of bread and wine. They have chosen to slander my mother, even though I declared in my word, all generations shall call her blessed. And I made it very clear from the foot of the cross and the wedding in Cana that she is now entrusted with my church and interceding for all our children. Yes, I said, our children, because it was through the Holy Spirit that she conceived. So she is rightly called his spouse. But men in their obstinate pride do not tolerate that a woman plays a major role in the raising up of my body, even though she did a wonderful job of raising me up. Oh, my people, I stooped to enter the womb of the Virgin. Is it such a great thing to ask you too? To stoop and come to her in prayer, asking for her intercession. The motive for rejecting her has been fear of man and being ostracized from the community of faith your parents and relatives attended. But you have awakened now to the truth of what I taught, so it is time to go deeper and show your true respect for my bodily presence and my blessed mother among you. When you walk into the court of a king, do you not bow and salute his majesty? Do you not show reverence and respect for his office? Before you sits a man of tremendous influence and power. Your very life is in his hands. Is it too much to ask of you to show this kind of respect for the God of heaven and earth in your midst? Hidden under the appearance of bread, I tell you the truth. Your faith and ability to operate in true faith very much depends upon your respect for my presence. If you are lax with the Eucharist, you will be sloppy and lax with your faith. So much depends upon what you believe in my presence. Adoring angels accompany me everywhere I go in my Eucharistic presence. If the ambassadors of heaven bend the knee to adore me, how much more should you, my people, respond to me with great dignity? Try me in this and see if your heart does not become enlarged with holy love. This reverence, respect, and profound adoration is the mark of a chosen soul who has responded to grace in a way befitting a consecrated soul. I do so wish to lavish my love and choice graces upon you, my children. I am only waiting for the prideful leaven of this world to be cleaned out of your hearts, so that you may sincerely bow in my presence, that I may inundate you in my glory and love. Lord, what should they say or think when they come into your presence? Jesus continued, it is the attitude of heart that is most important. It must be sincere. Do not ever reverence me for the sake of showing others how pious you are. Simply say, Jesus, I love and adore you. Make my heart your holy habitation. And if you cannot kneel, just bow from the waist to salute me. But, my dear ones, be sincere. Do nothing to impress or please those watching, for that is obnoxious to me. I am not meaning to be stern with you, precious family. Rather, I'm opening a secret door into the treasures of my graces. I wish for you to cultivate more sensitivity spiritually, and this will happen as you adore me in spirit and in truth. The more time you spend with me in the Eucharist, the deeper will you be embedded in the supernatural realm of holiness. Your sensitivity to my presence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will be fine-tuned and accurate by this practice. You will find yourself wanting less and less of the earth's consolations in food and material things, and wanting more and more one-on-one time alone with me. You will also begin to enter into the mysteries of my passion. Once you embrace these things with your whole heart, temptations will become less frequent, and when they do come, you will recognize the enemy's presence almost immediately. I am not leaving you alone in this practice. I am now, as we speak, distributing graces to each heart longing for them. Those who long for the things of heaven and despise those things bound to the earth, I am with you, and I am anointing and opening your heart to receive my depths. Well, that was the end of his message, and I would like to conclude with some readings from the book In Sinu Jesu, which means On the Chest of Jesus. The full title is In Sinu Jesu, When Heart Speaks to Heart. I've been using this book for Rhema readings from the Holy Spirit, and they are so rich and anointed, I linger on them and underscore several quotes, making Rhema cards with them. You can hear the pitter-patter of rain on the roof. You were supposed to get a nice, quiet snowstorm, but instead we're getting rain. Praise God. We can always use rain. So beginning on page 145, under Monday, March 1st, 2010, suffering and adoration are two expressions of the love that I desire to see burning in your heart. Suffer in love for me and adore me out of love. It is love that gives suffering its value in my eyes and in the eyes of my Father. And it is love that makes adoration worthy of me and pleasing to my heart. This is your vocation, to suffer and to adore always in love. The love that reaches me through suffering is the source of graces for the whole church. The adoration offered me out of love consoles my Eucharistic heart and wins an immense outpouring of graces for the sanctification of my beloved priests. Suffering for you is the humble acceptance of every limitation, fatigue, humiliation, disappointment, and sorrow. It is the joyful acceptance of infirmity and weakness. It is adhesion to all the manifestations of my will, especially those that you are incapable of understanding in the present moment. Suffering offered in love is precious in my sight. Accept the sufferings that I allow and that I will for you. Thus, you will participate in my passion through patience and accomplish the mission that I have entrusted to you. Adoration is the second aspect of your vocation. In adoration and from it, As from an ever-flowing fountain, you will receive the love that makes suffering precious and makes you like me in the hour of my sacrifice on the altar of the cross. The more you adore me, the better equipped you will be to accept suffering and to live it in union with my passion. For the renewal of my priesthood in the church, and for the redemption of the souls of priests held in bondage to the forces of evil. And here I would like to substitute the word priest for presbyters, for some who might not understand the function of a priest. Because there's a difference between those who were anointed as presbyters and the general exhortation that we are priests of God. Adore me more generously. Make the offering of your time out of love, trusting in my power to bring about the impossible, and you will see wondrous things. Adore me generously, and I will bless you more abundantly. Show me your willingness to be the adorers that I have been asking you to be for so long a time already, and I will show you that I am faithful and that I will accomplish all that I have promised, even down to the last detail. It is your failure to adore me generously and freely that impedes my work and delays the manifestation of my glorious providence among you. Give me the first place, and I will attend to all the rest. Such is my promise to you, and I am faithful to my promises. He goes on to say, I am about to carry out the plan for the renewal of my priesthood that for so long I have held within my heart. These days of shame and darkness that have come upon my priests in so many countries are about to be changed into days of glory and light. I am about to sanctify my priests by a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. They will be sanctified as were my apostles on the morning of Pentecost. Their hearts will be set ablaze with the divine fire of charity, and their zeal will know no bounds. They will assemble around my Immaculate Mother, who will instruct them, and by her all-powerful intercession, obtain for them all the charisms necessary to prepare the world, this sleeping world, for my return in glory. I tell you this is not to alarm you or to frighten anyone, but to give you cause for an immense hope and for pure spiritual joy. The renewal of my priests will be the beginning of the renewal of my church, but it must begin as it did at Pentecost, with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the men whom I have chosen to be my other selves in the world, to make present my sacrifice, and to apply my blood to the souls of poor sinners in need of forgiveness and healing. They will preach my word in the power of St. Peter on that Pentecost long ago, and at the sound of their voices, hearts will be opened and miracles of graces will abound. So that was one reading that I felt was important, and there's another one, which is from Friday, April 20th, 2012. Starting on page 231, let my adorers take their place before me, their faith, their hope, and their surrender to my merciful love will cause a great tide of healing love to pour forth from my sacred side and radiate from my face. Thus will my adorers, without leaving my sanctuary, become also my apostles, messengers and instruments of my merciful love and of my burning desire to gather in the lost, to bind up the bruised, to tend to the wounded, and to heal the brokenhearted. And I want to take a moment here and just repeat a quote I'm very fond of. Henry Nouwen had said that we who live in a monastic setting are at the hub of the wheel. The spokes radiate out to the rim of the wheel. So we in this position are praying, and graces are being released through those spokes to the very rim. Those who are out in the world are being empowered by our prayers. And that's why the monastic life is so much under attack. People do not understand that we live in seclusion because we are praying for the world, because we're close to the heart of our Lord, and we share in his sufferings, how he feels when world events happen, how he feels when he's falsely accused, when his ambassadors are falsely accused, how he feels when there is sin in the church. We keep him company and we comfort him, but we also pray for the world, and graces are released through the spokes of that wheel to the rim, to the workers in the harvest fields, the ones that are boots on the ground, so to speak. They are receiving the graces released through our prayers. So truly we are apostles and messengers and instruments of his merciful love. Thus will my adorers, without leaving my sanctuary, become also my apostles, messengers and instruments of my merciful love and of my burning desire to gather in the lost, to bind up the bruised, to tend to the wounded, and to heal the brokenhearted. I am speaking to you now as I have already spoken to you in the past, and as will I continue to speak to you for your own sake and for the sake of those who will read my words. My love for you has not diminished, nor have the dispositions of my heart towards you changed. I love you tenderly, faithfully, mercifully, and I will draw you into the embrace of my friendship and hold you close against my sacred side until at length you come to abide in my most sacred heart, the sanctuary of my elect and the refuge of poor sinners. Trust my love for you. Go forward, acting boldly and bravely, for I am with you, and this work is altogether mine. It is a work of merciful love for priests, for the men I have chosen out of millions of others to be the cherished friends of my heart and intimate sharers in my passion of love. Allow me to love you by coming before me and by remaining in my presence. This is what I ask of you before all else. Seek me first, and you will discover that I will provide you with time to come before me. Listen closely to my inspirations and to the suggestions that I make through your guardian angel, through my Immaculate Mother, and through our friends, the saints whom I have charged to support you, to guide you, and to walk with you in this life. All of these are co-workers with the Holy Ghost, acting in union with the uncreated love that is the bond of my union with the Father and with all my elect, the saints in heaven and on earth. Nothing done by my saints in heaven is accomplished apart from the Holy Spirit, and all that my saints do by way of signs and miracles manifests the creative power of the Holy Spirit at work in the church, not only through the sacraments I instituted and gave her, but also through the intercession of the angels and saints in glory. Love me, then, and trust in my love for you. Ask the Holy Spirit to inflame you with the same fire of love that burns in my sacred heart and in the hearts of all my saints. It is in the prayer of adoration that this love grows strong, becoming a fire that gives light and warmth to all who approach it, burning in the hearts of my loved ones. And that was a selection from Nsinu Jesu, When Heart Speaks to Heart, the Journal of a Priest at Prayer, a Benedictine Monk. Well, thank you, my dear ones, for your continued prayers and support. I truly appreciate it. And we are all growing so marvelously on the refuge. It's quite amazing to see the spiritual growth. It's the Lord, totally. And I thank you for being a part of it. I bless you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May His presence, may His wisdom, may His peace infuse and strengthen you. Amen.